Good night, Lady Misty. How are you?
Good night. I'm not bad. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm just here kind of getting things going tonight for this segment here. And just giving this folks a few minutes, kind of really get on board. I think that this is a very interesting topic that we're going to be addressing tonight. The topic tonight, though, I don't think that it might be I wouldn't say it's a fun topic as far as that, but I think it's a needed one. You know,
be one of those spicy kind of topics, but
yeah, exactly.
It's relevant and discussion, eh?
Yes, and this is not trying to, you're not trying to air so-called dirty laundry, you know, trying to disrespect kingdom of God and the church, because we, you know, I was born in church myself. I grew up in church, and I've seen different areas and facets of the church. I've seen some great things, not so great things, some things that make you wonder, oh my goodness, is this church or not? And something you wish you could change. And so I guess it's a work in progress, as it would say. And that's what the Bible said, let the wheat and the tear
grow together.
All right, and then
the devil will come.
Yeah, he know how to sever, you know, what is what. But the word gang, and so the title is a church family, a gang, right? And if you put an acronym, you know, G-A-N-G, you may want to say gaining and not growing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gathering and no glory, you know, those are that come to mind. So they're folks gathering Sunday after Sunday, and where's the glory? All right. And there has to be a church decline and growth. And I want to start off, Lady Misty, with this reading here, because it really caught my attention. As it relates to church. It's a piece that I think it was by, let me make sure I give credit here, because it's important when you read a particular article, you all want to give credit to the writer of the article or book, whatever. You know, I think it's important. I don't see it here for some reason or the other. I think I had written it down, but I'm going to read a piece, this piece that I have. It said, the church in some sense is not a gang, because gangs are more elusive and loyal today's church lack those attributes. So I guess the article is saying that now, as far as loyalty, it seems to be that there's a stronger sense in the gang than the church itself. So, to say, let's go. To refer the church or ask the question: is the church family a gang? I guess that's where he was coming from. Then the article says, the extract below from the article: our church becoming more like gangs. Yes, and it's written by Franik Chan. This is on August 29, 2018. But it's just fairly new, right? And just to read a part of it, it says, think about this. One of the elders of my church, Rob, spent most of his life in gangs. He encountered Jesus when he was imprisoned and placed in solidarity confinement. Today, he is one of the most loving people I know. In fact, I'm not sure if I know anyone who loves Jesus and people as well as he does. Rob tells his stories of gang life and the fear he felt when he left his gang to join the body of Christ. To do this in prison can be suicidal. He had to make a serious break with his gang, and gangs are anything but casual about breaking those ties. But the Lord intervened to spare his life. It wasn't just the physical torture or death he feared. He dreaded the rejection by those he loved. The gang was his family. These were loyal and dear friends who looked out for him 24 hours a day. There was a love and camaraderie from being in a gang that he had enjoyed since childhood. Now he would lose those relationships and he hated by them all. When Rob describes his gang life, much of it sounds like what the church was meant to be. Obviously, there are major differences, drugs, murder, you know, little details like that. But the area of being a family is central. It's central.
I got caught up a while ago. I'm so sorry.
No problem. You're back. There you go. But yes. You're back, and that's the main thing. You're back with us.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. But let me pick it up from here. I'm sorry. I said, when Rob described gang life, much of it sounds like what the church was meant to be. Obviously, there are major differences, drugs, murder, you know, little details like that. But the idea of being a family is central to both gang life and God's design for the church. Yet while we use family terminology in our churches, Rob's stories have convinced me that the gangs have a much stronger sense of what it means to be a family than we do in church. So that's an interesting little article there. And it goes on to say quite a few things. I'm not sure if you looked at the article yourself, Missy, but it definitely caught my attention.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And a few things jumped out at me. One is the line that you just read a while ago, which talks about a gang having a much more deeper sense of family than what you do. Being in church all my life, basically, I unfortunately find that as true, because we as church folk, you know, we call each other brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, you know, we're all a part of the family of God. We use those terminologies a lot. However, in my own experience being in church, I find that, and I wouldn't say for the most part, but a significant part of, you know, being in church this long is that we don't usually live up to what we are saying. And so we have that disconnect. We have that disconnect because of we don't practice what we are preaching. And so onlookers, persons looking in, and those who are, you know, desirous of wanting to join the church, don't see that authenticity, because yes, you say you're a family, you say you ought to love one another and have that kind of brotherly love, but that doesn't really exist, because they don't experience that when they actually come in the fold. I think it's interesting, interesting to see that. And I know too that with gangs, they have a tight-knit kind of relationship. So, you know, you hurt one, you hurt everybody. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And yes. Usually you don't really find that much in churches. You know?
Okay. So
there is usually a separation in the body itself.
You mean like cliques and different segments of power,
or
groups, power struggles here.
Or one branch against another branch, you know, even though they have the same organizational name. All of that kind of thing comes out. So, you know, you have to really, you know, think about all of those things.
Interesting. You know, I think I see some folks kind of chime in here, and I'm going to ask that that you save your questions. If you have any questions that you want to So Rod, really quickly, you can do it so within the next, I'll say 20 minutes or so. So now it's about 9, almost 25 now. So in about 20 minutes, so at about 9:45, all right? You can start, you can ask your questions, make it real brief, and we'll try to, you can also call in. And we'll definitely try to answer and just, you know, answer a few questions and make it really a family type thing. So we welcome you. Thank you for joining us tonight. For those of you online who are coming on board, we again want this to be a great segment. This is Christian and Sex on Yumi Radio. And we're here to have a good time, a good discussion, and hopefully benefit from it and cause others to benefit from this conversation here. Yes. Yeah, so, based on this particular topic here. All right. There's a point that I want to bring out, and I did hear what you're saying, Lady Misty. But in terms of the there's a relevant. What's the relevant? Mm-hmm. What's the relevance here, as far as this issue as far as church? You know, winter time. You know, how relevant are we? In the culture, because there seems to be a decline in membership, you know, as far as church-wise. So what's going on there? What's really taking place is my concern.
There are many ways you could look at that. Mm-hmm. There are many ways that you could look at that on a spiritual level, you know, where the Bible talks about the end of days falling away, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a period of time, you know, being that this, as the Bible calls it, the last days. Mm-hmm. So there's not much desire for God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So you could look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You could also look at it as church. It has become so, what should I say now, routinistic.
Okay.
You know, and kind of one-sided. So it has lost the kind of authenticity that church has. Mm-hmm. Because there's not much fear. And when I say fear, I don't mean being afraid. I mean reverence.
Okay.
You know. Because I remember when I was growing up, you know, people didn't usually do certain things and say certain things in church because they respected the very ground they were on. Mm. Now, you know, it's kind of a feeling where you can do anything you want, and, you know, so there's not much respect anymore.
Okay.
There is another side, you know, where, say, it's not really catering to the era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the happenings of now. So, you know, church is boring, and, you know, it hasn't opened up itself to
the culture at large. Like, it's more like an exclusive club kind of setting where it's like, you know, look like us, act like us, or you're not really part of the club in that sense.
That's right. So you could look at it as on those levels to see, you know, the real thing. You want to look at it on a spiritual level, on a cultural level, you know, the relevance in society now, you know, does it really have that kind of a voice? Again, have we blended in with the world, so to speak? So, you know, there's not much difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really have a say because you have blended in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like the rest of us, you know?
Interesting. You know, it's funny because when I think of church...
You could look at it like that too.
No, that's an interesting point you mentioned there. When you look at church in terms of the what I know, especially for myself on the Pentecostal, and I...
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Bible school, and
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I didn't study Bible at the Bible college, so it was very biblical centered, even in the subjects. So when you would learn history, when you would learn history, it wasn't just a regular history, as in American history or whatever it was. You would learn how the Bible, you know, how it influenced, and you kind of saw where it connected with the culture, you know. And so, I realized at some point how small we were percentage-wise. If you look at the world and the major religions, you know, you have the Muslims, and you have the you have the Christians, and then you have the Islams, or the Muslim, Islam, and Christian. Those are the three major ones. And in Christian, then you have the Catholics, which were like the major. No, Catholic means universal. And so you have that as far as that kind of Christian. But then you have through the Catholic Church, through the Reformation, you have the breakaway. You know, the Anglicans and the Episcopalians and the Moravians and the Anglicans. And then you have come to those, and you have different factions where you have the Baptists, Methodists, you know, and so forth. So breaking down, when I was growing up in church, I saw a limited view of church, the church. So when I look at church, I thought it was just my body, my Pentecostal, you know, as far as we are the ones that are going to save the world and enlighten the world with the gospel. I didn't see the big picture, because it wasn't shown to me. So it's after going to Bible school and learning culture and going back and see how things kind of progressed, you know, and over where it time. Digressed and where, it started making more sense. And looking at the Bible and see how each particular segment or church movement, what they ran with. You know, some ran with more or less of the, I would say, religious kind of part of it, where it was more like rules, you know, and some ran with more of a, almost like a emotional part of it, you know, more like it wasn't so much, they didn't go after the money so much. In fact, they thought money might have been an issue. And if you get education, it was something that you don't do, or you don't, drive towards, you know, and some look at it more as a control mechanism, where they had money, they had power, they had influence, you know. And that's why even now look at the Catholic Church, and they're very wealthy, you know. They're very wealthy because a lot of their approach was to have all the branches kind of focus on them. I'm kind of I'm going over a little bit, but I'll take it back in. But again, this is going back to control and how relevant they were at one point in the world. They had a strong voice politically, and a lot of what they said, you know, government listened to them. That's what it was. But as time went on,
a lot of what they said also came into law.
Yes. So we know that happened. So as time went on, we see now how that voice has gotten weaker and weaker. And so forth. So we're now addressing church locally now, because there is it's not just one voice anymore, and they had the word and the Bible, and then the masses look to them for the answers. People are now enlightened. They're now, you know, they're now looking on their own, doing their own research. They look on YouTube. They're reading books. They're finding out things on their own. And so they're saying, what's going on? And there are questions that are being asked. And it's, of course, there seem to be more questions than answers.
Than answers. Because you see, now information is much more prevalent. So it's not only, because in those times, I believe, it's like information came from one set of people. So you really didn't have a way of questioning or, you know, verifying what they said. because they were up there. So you just believe what they said as, you know, gospel. Mm-hmm. Now we have access, you have access to all different kinds of information.
Information
at your fingertips. And with information, questions will come.
Exactly.
And
if the question is not answered, then that leads to another problem again.
Right. Yeah. And you may also get varying answers.
True.
So what do you believe?
There's a piece that I want to read to you. Again, I don't see the writer of this piece, but like it's not my piece. But but it says something like this. Try to imagine Paul and Peter speaking like we do today. Hey, Peter, where are you? Where do you go to church? And Peter said, I go to the river. They have great music and I love the kids program. Cool. Mm-hmm. Can I check out your church next Sunday? I'm not getting much out of mine.
Yeah.
Then he said, totally. I am not going to be there next Sunday because little Matthew has soccer. But how about the week after? Sounds good, man. Hey, do you have a singles group? It's comical to think of Paul and Peter speaking like this, right? Yet, mm-hmm. that's a normal conversation among Christians today. Why?
Yeah.
There are so many things wrong with the above conversation. I don't even know where to start. That's what the writer said here. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have reduced the sacred mystery of the church to 1 hour service we attend is staggering. Yet that's the way I defined it for years. I didn't know anything different. It's what everyone did. So I didn't think to question it. All right. So I guess like the piece I read talked about Rob, who had, you know, was in jail and he's like to actually be locked up because of his gang activity. You know, he got out and he's trying to compare his life as a gang, you know, and what it was like how they got his back, you know, to where now he's, you know, a church, a pastor, and he's feeling like, man, you know, this is crazy how, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. but it's supposed to be a family and that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I found it to be very, very interesting. So, so that's the point. That's one of the points.
A lot of persons get turned off because, as I said, what is preached is not practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of persons come into church, whether we believe it or not, with certain expectations of how church should be.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't see that or experience that, it creates a problem.
Okay. How about control freaks in the church? They said control freaks. How about that within the church? What's your take on that?
Lord, I know a few. I know a few. And in reading the article, they say they are not usually the pastor, right?
Yeah, because a lot of the pastors is pretty much sometimes has to be wrestling with these folks, trying to get them to be. To act right, to, you know, to not as mm-hmm. not to push away folks who want to come in,
because these kinds of people usually have some form of influence,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately they have the power to influence in a negative or a positive way the congregation, because they're in the field, they're there on the ground, because, you know, the pastor can only go at a certain level, and, you know, because of his position, because of the responsibilities he has, you know, interaction with his congregants may not be to a full extent. Now, these control freaks are usually on the ground and they hear things, they're intertwined in the congregation. So that's where the problem lies. The control can be with money. because they could be large donors of the organization. And that usually creates a problem. Because if you have a member of your church that contributes to your whatever programs you have there in a significant way, of course, you don't want to lose that person, right?
I got you.
So, you know, when certain decisions are going to be made, you know, their input is usually required or sometimes necessary. And then they gain the power now to sway whatever decision is going to be made, which can be negative or positive.
True.
Right? So you have some that will be able to cause a rebellion, you know?
But it's true, because I've been to churches where I think the pastors wasn't aware of folks and how they were conducting.
That's what
you
I'm
know.
Saying.
Yeah.
Because he's not everywhere. He can't be everywhere. Doesn't see everything. And most times, as I was saying, these people are on the ground. They're interacting with the small man, as you would say, you know. Their ear is on the ground, and they're more intimate with what's going on the ground.
You know, I think every church should have a like a box, an anonymous box of individuals who are able to drop something in there as to what they're seeing and experiencing from the, I would say, background, or, you know, the part where it's not visible scene. They should be able to have some kind of a way of, you know, of informing, you know, leaders of what might be happening. Because, you know, many people come to church and they may walk away and not realize that, hey, you know what, if this was done and this wasn't done, you know, I would be coming. And I think there should be something where folks should be able to leave a note, you know, and it should be encouraged. Because really, you know,
like
that's
a suggestion box.
Yeah, suggestion box, or, you know, I wouldn't notice a complaint, because the idea is to really say, listen, you know what, it's really giving information on what might be going on that the heads are not aware of, you know. And I think that is very important.
Okay.
Yes.
That's an idea.
Yeah. For folks, if you dial in, I think you can dial in here. You can call in, and if you have any questions, I know you're out there. I see some folks here online. I believe I see Atek. Atik, that's the name, I believe. See you in there. Definitely thank you for hanging out with us tonight. And we welcome you and some others. Definitely welcome you to this program. And we are definitely here talking about, I think, a topic that needs to be addressed.
Right.
Someone said there are 14 reasons, 14 reasons for the breakdown of church unity. And I think that is also another. And it's by D. Thomas Reiner. It's growing healthy churches. And he says gossip is one of the main ones. You know, members talk a lot. Gossip is very dangerous.
Very, very.
Yeah, you know, failure to confront church bullies, so to speak, because sometimes, you know, for whatever reason it is, some folks in church tend to have leveraged themselves, whether it's money, and whether it's whatever they use, their gifts, their office, and they try to use that and determine who does what and what does what, you know, with a bully type mentality. And if the pastor is not strong and the pastor doesn't have his or her head on their bodies, then it becomes chaotic, you know, and the church gets stunted.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
So the gangish kind of thing, wanting to dominate, takes over. And I think that's also something that we want to look at. It talks about self-serving church members, those who are pretty much about themselves, because in the church, it's about people. It is about people. It's not just about me and so forth. It's about reaching the community. And I'm glad to be part of a church that is huge on community, to the point where there are things that they don't do personally, they support those who are doing it. You know, if I don't have a soup kitchen myself and you're doing it, then let me help to fund your soup kitchen so you can do more in that community, for an example. And I really like that. Of course, lack of prayer. You know, prayer, I think, is one thing that I think is the bedrock of every church. Is that your... would you say that?
Mm-hmm. It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. But I think one of the things that have been a major deterrent now too is that churches are seen as businesses.
Okay.
So it's an organization where we make money, and it's not really, you know, about the people, as you were alluding to a while ago. So it's just about, you know, making the money and getting rich. So a lot of persons on the outside see it like that too. Where, you know, that church is just all about making money all the time. You know, so I mean, speaking to my issues and talking about my problems and the healing and the deliverance, that's not usually the case, because they just see it as somewhere where they just make money.
You know, it's interesting, because a lot of the negative, or say the unhealthy churches, really make it bad for the ones who are really trying to make it happen.
That's it. That's true.
You know, because
as a broad brush.
Yeah, and that's where it gets dangerous. I tell folks, you know, they are great cops. And to the ones who make it bad, you don't paint all the cops to be bad cops. Yeah, sometimes, oftentimes people do that. People do that. They paint the broad brush, which of course it doesn't solve anything. You have bad doctors, you have great doctors, you have good churches, productive churches, and you have someone really about that. And when you hear a program like this, it's about really looking at where you are. And is it where you like to be? Is it productive? If you are somebody who is community orientated and want to see the community, are you taking that initiative in your church? Are you able to do so? Because some church, really, sometimes we even stop you from doing something that you think needs to be done. Just to have it their way, or just to have only certain people do what and when they decide to do it or not. So there's a lot of things goes on, you know, within the walls of a church. And you as a member have a voice and have a lot of have a lot to do with what takes place in that church as well. So it's not just about critiquing something, it's about what you and I are doing or can do to make a situation better. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Go ahead, Misty.
I was just thinking about the whole analogy with gangs, and I know I've never been in a gang, so but based on what I've seen and heard about gangs, they usually have this systematic approach to certain things. And I think the church sometimes gets it wrong, because everybody wants to have their own way. You have situations where there is a leader, there's a pastor, there's somebody set over a congregation, and you have persons who want to take over. And well, that exists in gangs too. But in church, it creates such a mess because everybody wants to lead and nobody wants to follow. So you see situations where everybody's striving for a title to feel important, and you know, everybody wants to be a minister, everybody wants to be a pastor, everybody wants to be a bishop, everybody wants to have some title behind the name, and nobody wants to follow.
Interesting.
And that creates a problem as well.
So you would say when someone comes from the outside and they witness that, it's really it's a huge turn off. It's a huge deterrent.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So now we kind of hurt ourselves from the inside out. So mm-hmm. So the light that we ought to be, I think that's where that light needs to be. You know, to be shone, or shown to the world. So we see the importance of those people or those ministers who have the vision to do it right. And we thank God for those people who are doing it right, or getting it mm-hmm. right. I think, as I said, as a whole, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be a lot more unified. And I'm not sure what will cause that. You know, of course, you have the different names, the different, you know, branches, and there's so much different mm-hmm. things to grapple with as far as becoming one. But I think love is, if love is there, if love is really at the helm of it, which is something mm-hmm. that needs to be understood and really preached and really be taught. And I think, sadly, the church also, a lot of churches are not big on development. You know, a lot of people in church they have trauma in their lives that was never addressed. Mm-hmm. And that's so, true. Yeah, so the fine people in the world, they're getting therapy, they're getting help, they're getting, you know, they're getting the right counsel,
the right kind
of support to improve their lives. But churches, anything goes. You just walk in church and take office. A lot of people never had the training, never had certain things looked into as far as their own hurt and pain and their own issue that is now spilling over in ministry, spilling over in them trying to help somebody else. You know, issue of anger, issue of self-control, and we call it control freaks, whatever you want to call it. So a lot of times mm-hmm. they find those things, they get spill over, and then it hurts people, you know.
Hurt people.
Yeah. And so these are things that you look at. Folks, you're listening to Christian Sex. Here we discuss different issues that affects us as male and females, whether within the walls of a church or whether it's in our homes, family, marriage, single, you know, these are issues that we face in our lives every day, and we want to address those issues because it's all connected. You know, the Bible even says you really can't have a strong church if your family is not together. You know,
that's right.
So as leaders and as people who go to church, it's important to have a strong family setting as well. And like I said,
that's the bed. That's the bedrock of.
Yeah.
Of any church.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bedrock of any church.
Very, very important.
So if that is broken, mm-hmm. if that is broken, then you're going to have broken churches.
Yes. You know? But yeah, like I said, I do come from a perspective where, you know, I share and I can't be ashamed of it. You know, we all have all the different viewpoints, different belief systems, different way we look at God, you know, or gods. But I do come from a biblical perspective, and I try mm-hmm. to convey what I understand it to be. Many times people say, well, the Bible yeah. says so, but at the real bottom of that statement, the essence of the statement, you're saying what I understand from what the Bible is saying, because
right, your interpretation,
I can't get it wrong. It doesn't mean the Bible is wrong because I get it wrong, because the mm-hmm. people have known to have said something or believe something 10, 20 years ago And now it's change. So is it because the Bible changed? Because you changed. Something happened to your own revelation, your own illumination. So I'm very careful in saying what I gather, what I believe. The Bible is saying to me, I think it speaks to us individually, uniquely, uniquely to us individually, because God is that amazing. And and he knows how to speak to us collectively. But it talks about fear of losing members. A lot of pastors are fear of losing members. So sometimes they may put a lot of pressure on certain members, which sometimes pushes them out. You know, I know a pastor who pretty much, you know, he said, listen, if you're here and you feel the calling to do something outside of the church world, he supports you. If you feel that you need to change and go to a different church, then that's you're being led in your heart. He said, go forth. You know, some pastors, if you're a great tithe payer and you decide to move away, it's a problem, because now they see you as a loss. They see you as a loss, rather than saying something, this person is moving on in what they believe strongly about and how they feel they need their life to be led. And now here you are thinking about just the money you're losing. So many pastors are very much in the materialistic mindset, and it affects people. So, you know, I'm very happy to have a pastor who thinks like that. You know, thinks like, you know what, you know, you're not here, you're not forced to be here. You're not forced to give, you're not forced to serve. But if you do it well. If you're here, you know, be the best you can be, and be free to affect the body positively, you know?
That's true.
You talked about failure to evangelize, to really spread what you have. What's your take on that?
I think because partially, I think that we are afraid. We have become afraid of talking to people. So, because as I told you before about information has gotten so widespread now that if you don't have a strong basis for what you're coming with, other people will throw you off. So if I'm going to talk about God to somebody, whatever information I have about him, I have to know it. I have to believe it. I have to come with a kind of a confidence, because if I don't, somebody else who may believe in something else may throw me off balance.
Okay.
So one of the things with evangelism is that you have to know what you're doing. You're going out to talk about a product. I'm going to talk about a product. I have to know the stuff. I have to know. I have to experience what it is like. If I'm going to talk about a product that I use it. So I know that, hey, this works. And I can just go out and say it works. How do I know it works? Because it does this, it does that, it does that, it does that, it does that.
Right? So in other words, so I like what you're saying about the product, because if you know it works, so my approach should be this. If I know something works, I won't stress on what doesn't work for you. I'm going to stress on what works for me. And why it works for me, and be excited about it. Now, if it doesn't work for you, I don't know what to do with that. But I share because I believe in it, that it works. Now,
it works for me. Right?
Yeah. But, you know, one thing I always say, when it comes to church, right? If one is excited about your church, your own local church, you're excited about it, why wouldn't you want to share it? Why wouldn't you want to let somebody come and experience that's what you're experiencing? So I think that may be where other people are selfish, or they're really not happy with where they are, but they're not really sharing that. They're not keeping it real, so to speak. They just go there because maybe it's a ritual, or maybe I have to kind of maintain a face, or it's habitual, but I'm not really into this thing here. So why am I going to share it for? You know, because if you look back into the ministry of Christ, of Christ, a lot of times when he met people and he addressed them and dealt with their issues, they said, I want to follow you. I want to, you know, sometimes he would say, don't say anything. They want to go and shout it out and tell the others, hey, come and see a man. Mm-hmm. Come, I found this thing, you know, whatever it is. So I think that might be
because
missing.
Because they have experienced it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So experiencing church.
It's hard to talk about something that you've never experienced.
Uh-huh.
Right? Wow. So yes, you can use third party knowledge, but it won't be the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you have never experienced it, it's hard to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, you know, for example, if you have never been in love,
okay,
it's hard to talk about it.
Yes. 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 It's true, because why not people, even love, and mentioning love or in marriage, why some people they kind of push it away or don't encourage it, because they might have had a bad experience.
That's it.
Right? Might have a bad experience.
And if you don't go with that. If you ask about that bad experience, they're going to tell you, so listen, this is the reason why you should not get married. The reason why you should not be doing this, because, hey, this and this and this and this happened.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if they have experienced something good,
mm-hmm.
you're going to say, listen, this is the best thing that ever happened, because look here.
This is what happened.
So
yeah. But it's true. It is true. But I think, you know, we're going to wrap up real soon. But I think that, mm-hmm. I think for a church, I think that, as we talk about the gang mentality, and I think that, you know, we have a common, I would say, enemy. And we're looking at, if you want to get back to the fall of mankind, ever since that happened, it's like everything has just got degraded and just got warped, you know, man's vision, man's heart, man's just got warped. And I think that enemy alone is right there, is the first enemy. Then you have a spiritual enemy, all right, coming against you. So you got your own self. Then you got, you know, then you got people who are also not godly minded, you know, or not church minded, or have things contrary, our agenda is contrary to what the Bible suggests. And I would want us to take on and live out. And that becomes problematic, because you're saying, I can't live this way. I can't do this. You know, I want to live my life like this, you know. And the Bible said, well, this is here. This is black and this is white. This is what it is. In some things, it appeared to be very straightforward to me anyway. So that, again, caused a lot of friction, people, and a lot of rebellion against what it states. But I think that as a leader, and I would encourage him, pastors, if he's listening tonight, that once you're directed by the divine creator, it's God, then you don't fear what man does, you know, what happens. True. You don't fear what the church is a big size, what is a small size. You know, when Christ picked out those 12 men, those disciples, they initially were, I think, 70 people. Mm-hmm. But only 12 followed him. So he wasn't big on just having a big crowd to be impressive. He was interested in teaching these men. And so when these 3 years of ministry was completed, they would now be trained and set on fire to now change the world. You know, as the Bible said, these men were going to turn the world upside down, so to speak. You know? So that to me is a major key in deterring some of these, some of the internal struggles that church have. Is a pastor who has vision, and he's sensitive to how his creator speaks to him and how he directs that particular body in that God has thrust in him, you know, that kind of thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
So we come into a close with this segment
I think that we need to. I'm saying I think we need to really think about how we are as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say church, I don't mean a specific denomination.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it that we will impact the nation? How is it really impact the world? And just try to work on the things that the areas where we are falling short.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't do that, then sooner or later we won't have a voice at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really been, you know, it's funny because, as you mentioned, church, a lot of people think church is just a name. Church is not a building, mm-hmm. per se, or a name. Church is made up of people. And the Bible talks about lively right. stones as an example to kind of give a picture of what it is coming together to make up a building. So it's a universal mm-hmm. church where he knows those people who belong to him, who are doing the right thing. And that's why I said, like I said earlier, let the wheat and the tear go together. So the wheat signifies one body and the tear is another body, but they are coexisting together. Mm-hmm. But he knows who's just the wheat and what's the tear, you know? And I guess for those who, I guess, love God and love our mm-hmm. neighbors ourselves, are people who are now begin to show what a true Christ-like life is supposed to be.
That's right.
So this segment is going to end in about 2 minutes, folks. And I hope that we've shared some stuff that was, I guess, edifying and uplifting and
shed some light.
Some light and some things that that may be of a blessing to you, and you know, and it may spark some more questions. Maybe it's locally where you are, you may start to do something differently, maybe start to be more assertive in seeing things get better, maybe pray more or mm-hmm. be more actively involved. So Lady Misty, I tell you, I think again with another interesting segment. And looking forward to have more and more of these coming up in the future. So
yes,
everyone, we thank you for joining us at Christian and Sex here on UME Radio, WUMEDB New York. Look out for us 8 p.m. on Tuesday nights. And you take care and God bless. Misty, any last words?
I just want to say to all our listening audience out there, thank you so much for listening. I know we didn't have any callers tonight, but I know these topics are really interesting and they are reaching out to people who may not have the voice to speak about these things. And so I want to thank you so much. You have been a great company. Sir Keith, thank you as well.
Yes, it's been great.
You have been, yes. So I just want to say good night to everyone. Enjoy the rest of your night and join us next week for another interesting topic.
Yes, take care and God bless.
All right.